Good afternoon, everyone. What a beautiful Sabbath day this is. I'll tell you one thing I don't often get to hear singing like that. But I can tell you that there is hope for human life on planet Earth. And I know this because yesterday my wife bought me a brand new coffee maker. So life for me is pretty good. Okay, continuing on. There was once a man from the tribe of Ephraim who began life as a slave in Egypt. The scriptures show him to be a man of faith, strength of character, resolute, and immovable concerning service to God and the things of God. This man was a close companion of Moses, probably his most trusted lieutenant. Ultimately, because of his character, faith, and strength, he eventually rose to the position of undisputed leader of Israel. And under his leadership, Israel began her rise to greatness. This man is none other than Joshua. The title for today, brethren, is Joshua, Example of Godly Leadership. Most of us, when we think and consider the character Joshua, we recall the character portrayed by John Derrick in the Ten Commandments. The man Joshua is well known to the extent that most people are aware of the fact that he replaced Moses as leader of Israel. But there are a few things about this man that are in a little bit of doubt and should be cleared up. First, due to the influence of Hollywood, Joshua is portrayed as a stonecutter, which is very likely not true, since you can't find a relationship to Joshua and the trade of stonecutting. I can't find it. If you can find it, let me know. I can recall more than one lesson about Joshua in my earlier years. He was very often thought of sort of an ersatz, rushed-up replacement for Moses. After all, Moses, the real leader, was gone. They had to have someone. Joshua was standing around, so why not pick him? Well, I can tell you that just isn't accurate. God is not careless or haphazard concerning his choices for leadership and developing leadership. And this is very evident in the case of Joshua. God likely had his eye on Joshua long before he himself was even aware of it. Joshua was known for his character and his truthfulness, even in the wilderness years. Approaching the promised land, Joshua was one of many others sent to reconnoiter the land, to survey the situation. Only he and one other man, Caleb, were truthful concerning that. We all know that story. We find that somewhere around Numbers 13. If you would please turn to Numbers 14. We'll break into that story. Here we find the other 10 false witnesses had given their false report and even suggested the choosing of a new leader and a return to Egypt. Here, beginning in Numbers 14 and verse 6. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of a man whose name I won't butcher, were among those who had spied out the land and tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey." I can remember reading different things, different accounts, hearing different messages, suggesting that the produce they brought back as examples was just magnificent. Even today, I understand, you can grow grapes in that area of the world about the size of a ping pong ball. I've never seen one that size. So the produce they brought back was plentiful and it was magnificent. In other areas of Scripture, God refers to this land of Israel as the glory of all lands. Somewhat reminiscent of our country today, these United States, and all the blessings we have. Continuing in verse 9, only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Not exactly sure what Joshua meant here. In modern terminology, he's saying we could eat their lunch. Is that what he's saying? I don't know. But he knew they could be defeated. He knew that if they trusted God, they could move forward and take the land. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. Reading on, you'll find that Joshua and Caleb held this posture, even in the face of stoning by the entire congregation. Because of their trust in God and holding to the truth, these men were the only two from that generation to enter into the promised land. Find this in Numbers 14 and verse 30. Before Joshua was permitted to lead, it was important he first learned to follow and obey. This was a training and proving ground in preparation for more responsibility at a later time. So for 40 years or so, Joshua served under Moses as his assistant, Exodus 24, 13, 33, and verse 11. You'll find this method throughout with God as he deals with his people. You'll find it evident with Jesus and his disciples, later to be chosen as apostles, Matthew 10 and Mark 3. You will find it evident as God dealt with the apostle Paul. Paul began as Saul of Tarsus, was first educated, as he put it, according to the law, at the very feet of Gamaliel. Acts 22 and verse 3. Later, after being called as an apostle of Jesus Christ, he was trained in the manner of the spiritual law by revelation of Jesus Christ himself in Arabia for about 3 years. Galatians 1, verse 11 through 18. God is steadfast in all things. He's steadfast and consistent in how he deals with those he's chosen, even those of us today. Later we discover that Joshua had the Spirit of God, and he was given additional power and authority to lead and judge the people. This occurred at a time when Moses was near his death. If you would please, Numbers 27, Numbers 27, beginning in verse 15. Numbers 27 and verse 15. Then Moses spoke to the Lord, saying, "Let the Lord, the God of spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them and go in before them, who may lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord," get this, "may not be like sheep which have no shepherd." The concept of sheep and a shepherd for a leader is a key component in leadership that God desires. Continuing in verse 18, the Lord said to Moses, "Take Joshua, the son of Nun, with you, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Set him before Eleazar, the priest, before all the congregation, and inaugurate him in their sight. And you shall give some of your authority to him, that all the congregation of Israel may be obedient. He shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall inquire before the Lord for him by the judgment of Urim. At his word they shall go out, at his word they shall come in, he and all the children of Israel with him, all the congregation." So we see the mantle of leadership now falls to Joshua. If you would please turn to Joshua 24. Joshua 24. And we find that Joshua like Moses, could be a very strong and commanding leader. This is found during a time of trial, where he inspired the people to return to their God after being found to be worshiping false gods from the nations around them. Starting here in verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. If it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. And here we find Joshua's world-famous statement. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua here takes responsibility for his own faithfulness and the leadership and instruction of his own immediate family. I can't help but wonder, what if that was done today? What a world we would have. What if half the people did it? What if even just a tenth of the people did it? What a different world we would have. It's reminiscent to me of what God says about Abraham, Genesis 18 and verse 19, that God could count on Abraham to lead and direct his family. He could count on Abraham to be an example to everyone. A little further down, verse 23, we see the result of Joshua's appeal to the people. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you, and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, and the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Joshua was also capable of great mercy, as with Rahab the harlot, and his honoring of the oath given to her by the men she protected. You'll find this in Joshua 6, 23 and 25. Upon examining Joshua's life just a little bit here, we find he wasn't an accident, a last-minute rushed-up replacement for Moses. Joshua was a strong, vibrant leader, and he stands on his own in biblical history. We need to understand the God of creation doesn't make mistakes and doesn't create accidents. Only men do this. Joshua was a man of great faith, character, and strength, who took on God on his word and acted on that word. Under his leadership and following God, the people of Israel were led against overwhelming odds to enter the promised land and subdue their enemies. It was Joshua who finally apportioned the land of Canaan among the various tribes of Israel. We find that Joshua was trained for his position of leadership using the same method God uses even today: careful choice, well thought out plan of education, training, preparation, just like the apostles, just like God's church today. God expected the same results from Joshua he expected from Moses: a strong, decisive leader when that was needed, a merciful shepherd when that was needed, and spiritual wisdom to know the difference between the two. He expects the same today. His standards have not changed. If you're anything like me, you probably often wonder, why me? Why did God look down and choose me? Give his truth to someone like me? I have to confess, I really don't know. But he did. Just like he did with each of you and each one of our brethren individually. The important thing to remember is this: God did make that choice concerning you and concerning each one of us. We might not understand it all right now, but he did put us here. God chooses people for his service and places them according to his will, not ours. This is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. We are now, right now, undergoing a period of careful training, instruction, and guidance. We, too, are being prepared for positions of leadership, just like the apostles, just like the early church, just like Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, God tells Joshua very plainly that he, Joshua, is his choice. He says to him, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." That's what that means. He also says, "I will never leave you or forsake you." We have that very same promise from Jesus Christ, our living high priest. Yes, Joshua was God's choice for leadership, and so are you. So are we all. As we approach the Passover and the spring holy days, it would be time well spent to consider these questions on service, leadership, biblical education, and preparation. Perhaps as we go through this period, we should examine closer the life and example of this faithful man of God, a true shepherd of Israel. And as we move forward this year, I sincerely hope that each one of us, as Joshua did so long ago, can do as he did, laying all things aside, make the statement of faith, "As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord."